Wendy, are you ready? I'd like to welcome everyone to our RDA meeting for June 17th, 2025. Our first item is an overview of the redevelopment agency projects. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. I hope that this is helpful to you before we do the RDA's budget business, to kind of have an overview or a refresher of these project areas, where they are, what the performance has been generally, and the reasons why they were formed, when they end, and more importantly, what TIF revenue does the redevelopment agency and the city have through these project areas. And I think I hope that you'll find this interesting. I won't take a super long time, but I think it is helpful for all of us to remember that we have these project areas. This map is one that all these maps we put together a long time ago. The city has had three CDAs, and that stands for Community Development Area. I call them project areas now because the state law has changed and we don't have CDAs anymore since these were formed. And then we have, so those are the Redwood Road CDA on the left, the Highway 89 CDA kind of on the right, but running along Highway 89 as the name suggests. And the first project area we put together in the city many years ago was the Eaglewood Village CDA. And we'll go over each of these. The area that's blue or purple or whatever color that is in the top that says Orbit EDA is an economic development area, which was also an authorized area years ago, and we don't have those anymore. We have a different name for them, that is. And that one is was formed, and I'll just take a minute on that one now while I'm talking about it. It was formed for the purpose of assisting the Orbit Corporation to bring a line of manufacturing from overseas to the United States. And they sought assistance from the city, they sought assistance from the state of Utah, and from the Economic Development Corporation of Utah. That, after all that was put together and we formed the EDA, Orbit tried for a couple of years to make that work and make it happen, and they eventually never ended up bringing their manufacturing line that they were doing in Asia back to the United States. And so that EDA we have let expire. It never functioned. It never really got implemented, and we never began. We formed it, but we never pulled the trigger, if you will, on any of the provisions of the EDA. And so it's really not in force any longer, even though the record would show that we formed that area years ago. So let me talk a little bit about each of these. This Eaglewood Village CDA was a unique one. It was created for the purpose, really, of building some public infrastructure and reimbursing the development group for that infrastructure. There were lots of things that we thought would happen in this CDA. The way the land use plan has been developed is different in some ways than what the original land use plan showed, and over the years the redevelopment agency and the city has adjusted the land use plan a little bit. And you're very familiar with this project because you've done some recent approvals of multifamily development. Along the frontage, along Highway 89, which is where the stop convenience store is located on the south end and the Quick Quack car wash is located on the north end, it still has several acres of property in the middle. And we are working right now with the developer to attract the right kinds of commercial land uses to that area. and hopefully that will bear some fruit soon. So I can't tell you right now because they've asked us not to do that in a public meeting, and I'm happy to talk with you individually if you want to know a little more. But they're working on some plans that I hope will be pretty exciting for us. So what happens in this CDA is that we collect tax increment revenues, which is property tax, and in this case is shared by all the taxing agencies. So the school district, the sewer district, the mosquito abatement district, and all the other taxing agencies said they would share a portion of their property tax that they would collect in this area with the city's redevelopment agency every year for a number of years. And this one ends next year. So we have collected 10% of that TIF revenue when we've put it into the city's housing fund. And we've collected 5% of that revenue and put it into the general fund for administration, and because we do have some costs associated with administering these. And then the remainder has been reimbursed to the development group for roadways and storm drain facilities and other improvements that were created and that really serve a larger area. So this one, you could say, I think this was a successful CDA. I think in the absence of the city's participation, we may not have had a development here. It's hard to say that because every piece of property on the Wasatch Front has pressure on it to develop, so maybe by now it would have been built on, but that's our first CDA. This Redwood Road CDA is really, it's, yes?
One question, who owns the Eaglewood Village now? Who's the development company? Do you know?
I would have to look it up, which I'm happy to do.
Okay, just curious.
I can find
because
it for you.
It's changed hands several times.
Compass Development was the original owners, Ben Lowe and his development team, and it has changed hands a number of times. So, but I'll find that out for you and let you know.
The last phase was Nate Pugsley's group, wasn't it?
Yes, Brighton Homes has purchased
some of it.
Yeah, great question. So this is really the largest redevelopment project area I have ever worked on or ever seen in my history of working on economic development issues. It's 585 acres and includes the Redwood Road corridor. It purposefully included areas between Redwood Road and the Jordan River. On the south end, you see where the bulk of that is, and we wanted to include Center Street and the industrial properties west of Redwood Road. At the time this was created, we had lots of vacant property, and so we were trying to incentivize job growth, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But then it takes in all the properties on the east and west sides of Redwood Road, and then property on 1100 North. And it's been a very successful project area for us. The first thing that we did in the history of this project area was when we identified a grocery store developer, a shopping center developer, we entered into an agreement to subsidize the building of that shopping center. And we had previously spoken to all the major grocers on the Wasatch Front, and none of them were willing to take a chance to come to this site. And we found one group that was just getting approval for a site north of North Salt Lake, and the deal had just barely fallen through. And I made a phone call to the developer, just coincidentally, really just by accident. And we got talking, and he said, well, I have a grocery group who's looking for a store. They've just lost their real estate in this other city. I'll talk to them about your site. And so from there, the city put together a deal with Lee's grocery store, which has turned out to be a wonderful addition to the city and to the west side. really meets a lot of needs on the west side. And we agreed to, out of the TIF revenue, we agreed to reimburse the developers $1.5 million, which we did. And that's been retired for some time. The second project we participated in was one of the frontage entrance roads into the commercial properties that front Redwood Road south of Center Street. So in front of the Amazon project, there's about 12 acres of property that runs north and south along Redwood Road on the west side of the road. And we participated in a large, an oversized entry road into those parcels. It also goes into the Amazon project. We paid about $700,000, maybe a little bit more, for where we purchased. We purchased the right-of-way for that, and then the developers participated by building the road. So so that was a great investment. We haven't seen the full fruition of that investment, but that group is working to attract commercial development on those properties. This CDA has a few years left. It won't expire until 2031. It generates about $1.6 million annually. And if you recall, we have appropriated some of that to payment of bonds related to the Wetlands Park, which is in this neighborhood, and then a portion of the bond obligation for the Hatch Park renovation. So, and we will have about $500,000 in unrestricted TIF revenue from here to the end of the life of the project. Now, previous councils have talked about this project having its revenue make further enhancements in the Redwood Road area. And we haven't, until now, we haven't had excess revenue to do it, but we're now starting to see that. And so I would suggest that we dedicate a future work session to talking about improvements that we might want to make in the Redwood Road area, in this area. And I'm talking about public infrastructure. There's sidewalks on the east side that we need to complete. There's lots of landscaping we could do. There's lots of ways to change how this corridor looks or how it functions. These funds would also be available for active transportation if we want to do some retrofitting in that way. And so just keep in the back of your minds that we may have $2.5 to $3 million over time that is available for that corridor. And we previously, years ago, we had a draft list of projects we wanted to do. We haven't talked about those because we haven't had the money to do them. But we should re-look at that list. I'll bring it to the council in the next few months, and we can start discussing. It's probably a good idea. I could show you in the retreat, the strategic planning retreat. I'll make a note that we can take 10 or 15 minutes. I'll show you what those projects are, and then we can have a work session on it and do some things with it.
So obviously we won't talk about it now.
If you want to, you can say anything you want, but
I am just interested in a tiny bit of additional, like, rudiments as we think about that opportunity. So you said spend it in this area, which is, of course, it makes sense.
Yep.
It's fair. It's being generated in that area, spending in that area. It's also statutorily required?
No. What the statute requires is that we have to make a finding that there's a connection to the generation of the revenue here and a benefit somewhere else if we plan to spend it somewhere else.
Yeah, so, like we did with Hatch Park. Then.
Sorry, there's a benefit to this area from spending it somewhere else.
Hatch Park.
Like we did with Hatch Park.
Okay.
Yes, we made that finding for Hatch Park.
All right.
And can you repeat really quick, how much out of this have we already allocated from previous council decisions to going back to this area? What percentage did you say?
So the way this works is we have about 35 to 40% maybe of the revenue is unrestricted what you'd say excess revenue.
But out of the 65%, didn't you say that some of it already has been allocated for this purpose and this purpose?
Well, so what you see on the screen there is one of the bullet points that shows that 10% of the revenue goes to the housing fund, 5% goes to the general fund. That's the administration of the CDA is what the statute says. And then in our case, we send about 50% of that revenue to the debt service fund related to our bond obligations for Foxborough Wetlands Park and for Hatch Park. That percentage could change if we generate more TIF. The amount doesn't necessarily go up, but
okay.
Our excess revenue would go up.
About 50% is dedicated to wetlands and Hatch Park. That's what I was wondering. And so now we're possibly looking at dedicating or allocating out of this $500,000.
Yeah, I think the good news here, the story here is really exceptional. This CDA, this project area, was estimated to generate about $5.5 to $6 million over the life of the CDA, and it will eventually generate closer to 10 or 11 million. So this is a real success story. Early on in the history of this CDA, we did create a lot of jobs. I've had people complain to me about the Amazon project and saying, it's the wrong land use and it's just a wasted opportunity. We chased other land uses for a long time. But my personal feeling is that we exceeded our objective in job creation in this CDA, which is something we don't talk a lot about, and it's not necessarily a core function of the city, but it does go to the health of the city, the economic well-being of our residents and the region, and job creation is a really important, especially some of these Amazon jobs are very high-paying jobs for folks who work there. And so this has been a really good CDA, in my opinion. We can also look at if we want to do some business attraction things, we have some funds to partner with private capital investment to bring a hotel, a restaurant. We can work on some of those things. There's more interest, believe it or not, on the east side right now for the hotel idea. So, and we'll talk about the 89 CDA here now, unless you have more questions on this one.
I have one more.
Yes.
Sorry, just so I understand the parameters. So out of the 500,000 that we might be talking about annually, are there restrictions on, do we have to use it for beautification or could we use it for attraction for commercial development?
We can. Yeah, in fact, I sort of skipped over that part. But on purpose, we created this district to stimulate private investment, which to me means economic development, partnership with others, infrastructure enhancement, expanding the tax base, and job creation. Those were specifically adopted as purposes for this district. And so we're free to use the funds for anything the statute allows, but economic development and even subsidizing businesses to come here mm-hmm. is a core part of the spirit of the RDA legislation. So,
okay, yep. Thank you.
Okay, the last, this I think is my last slide, but this is this CDA project area for Highway 89. And it's also a very unique CDA. It runs north and south almost the entire length of the city boundaries. We have a little bit of property south, but we go clear to the north city boundary. And this one was created also to be able to partner with private investors, expand our tax base, job creation, but also said specifically land assembly, demolition, and redevelopment, because we knew that we had a lot of properties that were built in this area and that we had redevelopment pressure, which we really began to experience right here across the street from City Hall and up the hill from City Hall, and we participated in those projects. So in the Town Center project, which is just north of us, we have an obligation for participation at $2.35 million. Again, this generates tax increment revenues. It generates about $600,000 annually because it had less vacant property than the Redwood Road area, and it just takes a little bit longer to redevelop property. Redevelopment also doesn't generate TIF revenue at rates that are really huge, because what happens is the existing property tax, TIF is really the difference between the existing property tax and the new property tax. And when you have buildings in that existing, you can't really create a whole lot of new assessed valuation. So sometimes it's a successful CDA, but it's never going to generate what the Redwood Road CDA generates. It's doing great, but it's not going to do that well. So right now, today, we have one more developer reimbursement, we think, right, of a couple hundred thousand dollars, I think. And we will have completed our obligation to repay the $2.35 million for the Town Center project. So you will have until 2034, after this budget that you're going to adopt tonight, you'll have about $450,000 in unrestricted TIF revenue for use in this area, which I think is awesome news, because this is the area that we have a great deal of need for active transportation, for participating with property owners, for example, for beautification purposes, more landscaping. You can use this for street lighting if we want to make those investments. You might have noticed we have some new flags out here advertising Liberty Fest and you may not have noticed there's only four or five of those flags, but they're right out here on Center Street. And if you can imagine a few more streets having that investment of beautiful street lighting, banner signs, better sidewalks, park strips with landscaping, street level improvements that might make it more beautiful and comfortable for pedestrians and for people on scooters or in bike lanes. Some of these things are really appropriate for the Town Center. They might be appropriate in other parts of the town, but I just wanted you to know that this is also an opportunity for us to talk about and think about what projects would we like to pursue in the Highway 89 area. Now, this one also, this corridor, especially since I-15 is redeveloping, we might want to seriously think about partnering with businesses like sit-down restaurants or others that we wish to bring here that may not be able they don't think this is the best location, and so they might need some assistance. So this is also a good opportunity. We'll have a work session on this as well, but you can be thinking about these things. And that's really why I wanted to kind of go over this, to let you know that in the near future, we're going to have some resources in both of these project areas that we could think about making investments into the community. And I think that's a real positive thing for the redevelopment agency and for the city.
Couple of questions, Ken.
Yeah.
So based on that criteria that we use to take money and develop and put it into Hatch Park, this may have that same potential use, yeah.
Yes.
And also, it's not much of a stretch to say that the Eagle Ridge Drive beautification.
That would be a good project for this. It's a little bit outside the area, so we'd have to make a finding. But
well,
I think
you can see it from the the highway.
I think you can make that finding in the town center a lot easier. And so that's a good project also.
My other question, so we have a stalled project south of us here. Is there, if we were to incentivize that with CDA funds, would the payback exceed, you know, having that development done? Would we generate enough that it made sense from an economic point of view?
That's a good question. You know, we only have, well, we have several years left on this, so it might. Yeah, with 7 or 8 years of TIF collection, we might be worth it. That's a great question.
I have a quick question on the I-15. I know that we don't know exactly, but is the intent right now in the thought process that until we know when we're going to have to rip all of that part of the city corridor entrance to the city up, we're holding off on stimulating commercial development? Or could we right now kind of aggressively improve aesthetically and commercially develop the entrance to our city?
We can do those. We don't need to wait for I-15. The most physical disruption we'll have from I-15 is at the interchange, and those properties right now are not in our control, and they're being used in gravel mining operations, and I don't think the owners have an interest now in developing those. Now, in 5 years when that interchange is functioning, and it might be sooner than that, but when it's really functioning and generating a lot of traffic, I think that's the time to partner with owners, in spite of the fact that they might be successful gravel operations. At some point, they're going to be parcels really where it makes no sense to do anything except let it redevelop like a freeway interchange, which means hotels, restaurants, commercials, shopping centers.
Right.
So that will happen, yes. But there's nothing that would prevent us today. Yeah, Eaglewood Village, those frontage parcels, both on the east and the west side, the property the mayor was speaking about, those are not impacted by freeway widening or anything. So we can go as soon as we want. The other thing I was going to mention was signage, entry signage that you've been talking about. These funds would be available for that as well. So it's great news on the horizon. One last thing I'll mention, this is in the proposed budget, but we've had a couple of meetings with a company called Placer AI, and some of you may know what that company does. They, using general cellular phone data, and that doesn't mean people's individual IP things. It just means they're tracking where people travel, they're tracking where they work, where they live, where they go. They have some powerful economic development tools that I am recommending we put into this next year's RDA budget. It's $20,000 a year for a subscription, but they do analyses for us, such as restaurant analysis for sit-down restaurants, hotels. If we have land uses we care about, we can use Placer AI to understand where people are traveling and whether they'll actually do a demand model for us and a leakage model for us and other things. It's really powerful. Sherry and I have had two meetings with that group, and I've known about them for a long time, maybe 4 or 5 years. But I think without this kind of data, we're at a disadvantage to being able to attract companies to our town center. So, and again, it's $20,000 a year. It's in the proposed budget. You'll hear from Heidi, but since I'm here, I just thought I would explain that. And if you're uncomfortable approving that tonight, we can have a work session on it and we can amend the budget later. It's not, I'm not trying to pressure you into giving us a thumbs up. We'll do more work on it if you want us to. So that's all I had.
Ken, before you leave, though, you're mentioning that there is a possibility of a hotel on the southeast side of our town. Mm-hmm. What's the information that you have on that?
Well, there's just interest. And so I've met with two different groups, and there's a third group that has some interest, too. So there's some interest in the Eaglewood Village frontage parcel, and there's some interest in the interchange. So... yeah, so I've had there's different hotel groups that I've had a little bit of a relationship in Davis County since I've been here. It's something that I've routinely checked in with a couple of groups to say, hey, do you think it's time to come down here? We'd love to have you down here. I've pushed the west side, and for some reason they're just there's interest, and then I think they drive out there and they see that it's a brickyard and an industrial area. Maybe Amazon will change that over time, but the truck traffic, it's just going to be a hard place to put hotels for people. But over here on the east side, it's looking better. So great. I hope I've left enough time for Heidi to do her magic that she always does.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Heidi, do you want to make your presentation?
Sure. Thank you. So the first item we have is a public hearing to amend the current year RDA budget. This budgeted amendment does essentially two things. It recognizes the revenues that we received in the tax increment in each of the project areas. So you'll see that we received a little bit over or under the amounts that we originally budgeted. We received those amounts back in April. We do receive those once a year. And because those amounts have obligations, the percentage obligations, like the 10% for housing and 5% for general fund, we're required to recognize both the original or the additional revenue and those additional transfer expenditures. The second thing that this budget amendment does is it's the other half of the contribution to the Hatch Park debt service, the $340,000 amount there. And again, that is a reminder that was approved at the last budget amendment hearing for the governmental funds or for the regular budget money coming in. The board now needs to approve, as the RDA group, the transfer out. And the reason that transfer is needed is because we've had delayed collections on impact fees. So originally when we forecasted out the covering the Hatch Park debt service, we had anticipated about $700,000 in impact fees coming in between last year and this year, and it has been under $200,000. And so we're having to kind of front load the amount that the RDA is contributing onto the debt. Will still contribute because there was a cap on how much was going to be participation. But we're just doing it more towards the front rather than spreading it out, knowing that those impact fees will be forthcoming.
I have a question on Fund 20.
Yes.
On the first line item, RDA increment Inglewood. I presume that we're going to incorporate this exhibit into what our vote is. And I think that $64,750, shouldn't that be parenthesized because it's a loss?
Revenues are always negative in when they come in. So increased revenues is always shown as in parentheses. And decreased revenues are, so you can see it's actually going to decrease the amount. This is just the way the fund accounting works so that we can get through to what that.
What I'm looking at is the middle column, the budget adjustment.
Yes.
And everything else seems to be consistent, not parenthetical.
Yes, that one is because we are collecting less than budgeted. The other two project areas we're collecting more than budgeted. So total collections is increasing in Redwood Road and Highway 89, and it's decreasing in Eaglewood Village.
But that's not reading right. Let's say you have $225,000, Fund 21, on the current budget. The budget adjustment is a loss of $90,000.
That's an expense line item.
Okay.
So that revenues, yes, the revenues are going, if you take a look at those original budgets, those first lines on each of the project areas is the revenue side, and that's always recognized for accounting purposes as a credit.
Right.
So to increase revenues, it's going to be another set of parentheses, but if we're decreasing revenues, it will be as it's shown on the first line.
All right. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah, but it seems backwards to
doesn't it? Yeah, okay.
It's how everyone says the debits and credits in accounting seems backwards. That's a perfect demonstration of that.
But it just seemed inconsistent. It seemed like that was the one outlier, and if we needed to amend that exhibit, we needed to. But apparently it's accurate, is what you're saying.
It is accurate, and overall the RDA is collecting more than it was expecting between all three projects, but then it has that additional expenditure, the transfer out to Hatch Park. So you can see the net change in the RDA fund balance is that $234,000.
Thank you.
Thank you. You do the public hearing? Open the public hearing? I think so.
Okay.
I think it's there.
All right. At this time, we'll open the public hearing for consideration of resolution RDA 2025-01R, a resolution adopting amendments to the fiscal year 2024-2025 redevelopment agency budget. If there's anyone that is here to address this, please come forward. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can pick up your hand signal.
I'm just counting down for you.
Oh, thanks. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the board approve resolution RDA 2025-01R, a resolution adopting amendments to the fiscal year 2024 to 2025 redevelopment agency budgets.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 And I vote aye. Thank you. That amendment, that motion passes. Next item is a public hearing and consideration of resolution RDA 2025-02R. A resolution adopting the fiscal year 2025-2026 redevelopment agency budget. Heidi?
Thank you. So this is the RDA budget for 2025-2026. As was presented during the budget retreat several months ago, with the addition of that Placer AI investment is now included as one of the operating expenditures. I think it was about $19,000 was the amount that we put into the budget. So that's the only change from what was presented during the budget retreat. A couple things to point out. You can see the total expenditures of $2,042,700. So 60% of that is going into that community line item, and that's going to be development agreements. Most of that's in Eagle Wood Village, but it's also related to paying back on the Kimball property because there's still some amounts due on that. So the other 40% is going directly into improvements. So the principal and interest is the debt on the Foxborough Wetlands project. And then that $443,250 is additional that's just reserved for beautification projects or other other things that the board might want to put in place. The transfer out of $760,000 is funds going out of the redevelopment agency, and it's those transfers into the housing fund, the general fund, and then for the Hatch Park debt service. So you can see the net change in fund balance is positive amount of $346,500. with this budget.
As an aside, what is the amount of money we have in our housing fund? Or do you know that?
It's close to $1 million.
Okay.
And how are we going to spend it? You know, it keeps coming up like, well, maybe we could have these programs or something. But to me, it's...
Mayor, that's where strategic planning will come in, because I think we can have a healthy discussion on that. Those monies can go to the Housing Authority. There's a way in which those monies can be put to good use to house people who would otherwise not be housed.
Mm-hmm. We collect about $230,000 a year right now. Now we'll have the one project area that drops off in 2031. But Highway 89 will go all the way through 2036 with that 10% contribution. So,
okay, thank you. Any other questions on this? Okay, I'll open the public hearing to consider this resolution RDA 2025-02R, adopting the fiscal year 2025-26 Redevelopment Agency Funds budget. If there's anyone here to speak to this, please come forward. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion on this.
Mayor, I'll make a motion. The adoption of the fiscal year 2026, adoption of resolution, approval of the resolution RDA 2025-02R, a resolution adopting the fiscal year 2025-26 Redevelopment Agency Funds budgets.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Start with Suzette.
Aye.
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 Sorry.
That's okay. You're not used to me being by you.
Thank you. That passes. Next item is approval of the RDA minutes of January 21st, 2025.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the RDA meeting of 2025.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. And with that, we'll adjourn the RDA meeting. Let's take a break and we'll be back. We can actually start on time. Wow.